Our study this morning, as assigned to me, is from Mark chapter 13. I need to cover this chapter, and this chapter, by the way, is the longest chapter in Mark 16. And with a long-winded speaker like this, it's going to pose a big problem with the time at my disposal. Still, we'll try our best. By way of introduction, I think it's important that as we cover this chapter, we understand certain terms that are going to be used in connection with the discussion of this chapter. And I think that's why Mr. Pickering assigned this chapter to me, because of the difficulty and the problematical study of this chapter. It is a chapter on the prophecy of events to come. So there are some terms that we need to understand. So let's start off with considering the prophetic panorama, perspective and plan of the eschatological end times. You see, I'm very sure that some of you cannot understand some of the words there already. Well, these are the terms that I shall be using in connection with the study of chapter 13 of Mark. Because these are the things, these are the topics we will have to deal with. And in your reading of the books, you will come across these terms. You must understand what they are and what they stand for. Now, I shall illustrate these terms with charts. Two or 3 weeks ago at Balmoral Hall, Mr. Ong Eng Guan also spoke on this topic, and he used certain charts, which I feel are very, very well done. So I borrowed from him these charts. Now, just to give you an idea of the prophetic calendar of this study. Now, and to show you that all the prophetic chapters in the Bible are all related and they speak of the same thing. They are not problematical. It's only man and his theory that makes things difficult. Now, you take, for example, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is very easy to understand, provided you have the key to open it. And the key is found in chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Write the things which thou hast seen, that will be what John saw in chapter 1, the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things which are the things which John wrote about to the churches, the seven letters to the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then here is another key. In chapter 4, verse 1, a very important verse to understand Revelation. Come up. Come up. A voice told him to come up. And he would represent the church, taken up into heaven, so that the church would be no more on the earth. So that from chapters 5 and 6, you see things happen in heaven where the church is. And then from chapter 6 to 18, you see things happening on earth and the things which come hereafter. And then we'll refer to the tribulation period. Now, even the tribulation, the term has to be explained, as I shall do so later on. And then finally, after the tribulation, there is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Battle of Armageddon, and then we'll finish the term on the earth, and then we'll go on to the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth, together with the saints, and then eternity. Right. Revelation chapters 20, 22. So you find, if you understand the perspective and panorama of this outline, then Revelation is a very easy book to understand. The second passage, prophetical passage, that is give problems to Bible students is Daniel 70, found in Daniel 25, 27. Although it's called 70 weeks, it's not weeks. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, it is 70, sevens. So it could be having 7 days, 7 months, or 7 weeks, or 7 years. If you put in a 7 days, the prophecy has no meaning. 7 weeks, no meaning. 7 months, no meaning. 70 years, I'm sorry, 70, not seven. 70 years, oh yes, plenty of meaning. If the period would start with the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, if you start from the calculation as Bible scholars have done, then 483 years, which is 7 and 62 weeks. That's how Daniel's prophecy put it down there. For 7 weeks and 62 weeks, then certain things will happen. That will be, then the Messiah will be cut off. And if you take all these years from this event to this event, it will fit in 483 years. We have no time to go into that. Next, you want to know about that? Next time, invite me. After that, there's nothing. This period of 77 plus 62 stops, terminates for a while, and then it jumps on to the 70th week. Why? There is a parenthesis. There is a pause. And this parenthesis is the period of the church age, which the Old Testament prophet never saw. Then after that, the tribulation would take place. When the church is raptured up into heaven, then the tribulation. So Daniel's prophecy only took into consideration the period up to the time of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, and a break. And then from after that, the rapture of the church takes place, and then is great tribulation upon earth, and then followed by a kingdom of 1,000 years on earth. Right. It is noteworthy that when you read Daniel's prophecy, chapter 9, 25 to 27, it has 7 weeks, followed by 62 weeks, giving 69, followed by 70th week. 70th week is separated from the rest. Why? Because between the 69th week and the 70th week, there would be the church period. So, 70th week will come on, will be divided again into two, the first half and the second half. The 70th week is the week of the tribulation. The first half is known as the tribulation. The second half is known as the great tribulation, which has never happened before, which will never happen again, which will happen then. Remember, it is different. Do not confuse between the normal trial of tribulation and the tribulation and the great tribulation. These words you will come across in the study of prophecy in the Bible. Do not confuse them. You confuse them, you can do wrong. Okay? So this is roughly about Daniel's 70th week. Now, how does this compare with the New Testament? Mark 13. Now, in the New Testament, the 70th week is prophesied for us by Luke, by Matthew, and by Mark. Matthew has the most detailed consideration in Matthew 24. Now, what happened was, remember, in Mark chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus came out. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, facing the temple of the Mount. And then The disciples asked him three questions. Question one. Christ said that there will be no stone unturned when the temple will be destroyed. When shall these things be? Question two. What will be the sign of your coming? Question three. What will the signs of the end of the age? Three events that are going to take place in heaven. And do not confuse again. Okay, with these three events, I shall develop them from Mark chapter 13 to show you that Mark chapter 13 endorses Luke's gospel, Daniel's prophecy in the Old Testament as well. Okay, so let's start. Mark chapter 13. Now you can look at your Bible. And I'm going to go through text verse by verse. Hopefully I have the time to do so. And hopefully you are patient to listen to me. Verse 1. As he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Question 1. Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Wow, so beautiful. Jesus answered and said unto him, See thou these great buildings, referring to the Temple Mount. Today you have the temple, there are the temple in Jerusalem, alright? Temple Mount. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That's answer. I'll elaborate on that afterwards. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, opposite, facing Jerusalem, alright? Against the temple, Peter, James, and John then asked him a private question. Tell us, when shall these things be? When shall these things be? When you come again, and when the end of the world is going to come about? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Christ, in Mark chapter 13, answers these three questions. Alright? So keep that in mind. Mark chapter 13 is an answer to these three questions. So let's start. First one. Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. Jesus' prediction of the temple's destruction. As Jesus saw that temple in Jerusalem, beautiful, huge, magnificent, he said it will be destroyed. Now the discussion. Before we interpret anything, let us understand the context. The context was, he was on the Mount of Olives, broken down into to Jerusalem. And on the Jerusalem, there is the Temple Mount. Beautiful ever. If the beautiful sanctuary with very beautiful bricks, so to speak, and very beautiful surroundings. Chapter 13, verse 1. See these great buildings, very beautiful indeed. And as I pointed out, this would be the longest chapter in Mark's Gospel. The congregation, in understanding the context, you must say, to whom was this written? Because if we do not answer this question, then we'll get all confused. To whom was it written? Who asked this question? The disciples of Jesus. So in one, Jesus' disciples, chapter 13, verse 1. Two, privately, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. I took him aside and asked him another question. So, who were these people? They were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. What race did they belong to? Jews. They were Jews. Were they not Christians? No, they were not. Why? Because the church had not been instituted yet. In Acts chapter 2, there was no church, no Christian. So this does not involve the Christian. Chapter 13 of Mark, do not read the Christian. Do not find the Christian there. It's only the Jews. Next. The question, Pastor, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. See how the Lord Jesus answered. The perspective of Jesus' desertion. He gave a twofold reply, chapter 13, verses 2 and 4. A twofold reply. This was a temple that Jesus saw. Beautiful, magnificent, built with marble, ever so beautiful. Christ said, this building will be destroyed. Destroyed so much so that these great buildings, none of them shall be left on them, none of them shall be left with one stone upon another. No two stones will be one upon another when it's destroyed. Why? Alright. Going back to history. General Titus, Roman general, came to attack the temple. And he gave strict instructions to his general. Do not destroy the temple furniture. Why? Because the furniture temple is all made of solid gold. The tabernacle, remember? The golden altar, the golden mercy seat, and so on. All gold, pure gold. And all the other furniture, gold. We want the gold. Don't destroy. But one general disobeyed. One general took a torch, threw it through the window, and it landed in the room, burned the curtains, and the curtains burned the whole temple. And the soldiers and the people rushed to get inside. Why? To get the melted gold. Because the temple was burning, the gold was melting, and there was gold. No one stone was laid upon the other. The prophecy was fulfilled right to the letter, literally. And so the massive stones of the magnificent sanctuary were put aside, no one stone left upon another, and that would be known as the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So the Lord's prophecy was fulfilled right to the letter, literally. Keep in mind, if what the Lord had prophesied had been fulfilled literally, other things still not fulfilled must be fulfilled literally and not spiritually. It's gone. The destination of the end times. Now we must understand certain words, certain terms with regard to the end times. Tell us, when shall these things be? Mark 13, 4. And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? What shall be the sign of their coming? We have answered number one about the temple. Now, second question. What shall be the sign of their coming? It has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the end age. These two questions we will answer as we go on. Again, the people, who were they? Keep in mind, they refer to the Jews. The Christian was not there. The Christian is not in the interpretation and in the discussion. It is the Jew, Israelite. The threefold reply to the disciples' question. What shall be the sign of the end of the age? Negatively, Jesus said, beware of the false signs of the end time. Positively, now I'm giving you an analysis now of Mark chapter 13. An analysis so that you will know the divisions. So that when you read Mark 13, you will know what part belongs to what part. Verses 1, 5 to 13, beware of the false signs of the end time. Positively, what are the signs? The event that will inaugurate unparalleled tribulation, 14 to 23. The tribulation. Alright, it has reference to tribulation 14 to 23. Then it will initiate the second event, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 24 to 27 has to do with the second coming of Christ after the great tribulation. Then Mark somehow, in recording the Lord's answer to the disciples went back to the first question. The first question is, when shall these things be? 28 to 32, he answered it with a parable. And finally, 33 to 37, Jesus concluded the whole discussion with watch. Four times the word occurs. All right, this is the general analysis of Mark chapter 13. Now, when we study the Bible, we have to do it this way. Then only we can interpret scriptures correctly and rightly, bit by bit, dividing the word of truth as it appears. So, let us watch. Now, let us go into greater detail this chapter. I said just now, beware of the signs that will usher in the event. Alright? Now, beware of the false signs that will usher in the end time. Verses 5 to 13. Beware of messianic imposters, the false Christ. Verse 5 and 6. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive. So, we must be aware of that there are many people who will come round and say, I am Christ. And you will know, Matthew chapter 7 has a greater definition of these people. The Lord Jesus said, they will come and see me, and say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Lord, we did this miracle in your name. Lord, we do this in your name. I know you not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, 25. And so we see, we have got to be careful. Do not interpret these things as future events. They are future here. They are our present events that are occurring now. Be aware of misinterpreting contemporary events as eschatological. In other words, when you see these things and these other signs, when we shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrow. Today we are living in the Great Tribulation. Many Bible scholars write that. Today we are in the tribulation period. You look at the nation against war, against nation against nation. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. Look at the world fighting against Israel and so on. This is not tribulation. We have not arrived at the tribulation period yet. It is just the beginning of sorrows. It is a foretaste of what is to come. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Fantastic, isn't it? Please remember, all these were written nearly 2,000 years ago. And now we see these things being fulfilled in front of our very eyes. Day by day, all these signs are being seen. Nation shall rise against nation, but the end is not yet. It's just the beginning of sorrows. When the Great Tribulation comes, it will be terrible. Okay? Natural calamities and catastrophes are the beginning of sorrows. We are not in the tribulation yet. But the tribulation is very near. Because these signs are the beginning of sorrows. Alright. Be hail to meet the indictments. Because you know these judgments are coming, then behave. 9 to 13. The false charges attributed to you against the authorities. Now, please note, all these are referring to the Jews, Israel. The false charges attributed to you against the authorities and so on. Netanyahu, today is being accused by the council and so on. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to council. In the time of Jesus Christ, now referring to councils, the Council of Justice, or CCC, or CCT, or DFC, it is. Okay, we see in the United Nations, Israel being brought before the council, and in the synagogues, you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. The anti-Semitism is growing. Now all these things are there. Don't think you are in the Great Tribulation yet. You are just at the beginning, before it starts. But first commit the gospel to all. And today, in spite of all these things we hear that the gospel is spreading very fast. And many, even Muslims, are becoming Christians. Okay, and the gospel must first be preached among all nations. These are the signs that must come about before the Great Tribulation takes place. The Lord's promise cares for you, but when all these things come on, chapter 13, verse 11, don't be afraid. When they shall lead you, deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do premeditate whatever shall be given to you in that hour. That speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Today, just a few years ago, 1-2 years ago, we find Donald Trump being put aside and Christianity also being put aside. And today he stands up for Christianity, he stands up for Israel. The time is coming. We are very near because we are the beginning of sorrows. The family carelessness, even among family members, there will be fights and misunderstanding and poor relationships. The brother shall betray the brother to death. The father, the son, the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men. And you see this happening now in Hamas, in Palestine state and so on. It's fantastic, isn't it? The Bible prophecy is just there to be for us to see how true the Bible is. Fear not, in spite of all this, for your faith and faithfulness will be credited. The Lord will remember Israel's faith. The Lord will remember Abraham's covenant with Israel, that God will preserve them. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Alright? Don't be mistaken. So this is the advice to Jews, and why today the Jews are standing very, very fast because of all these promises. Of course, they don't believe in this. They don't believe much in the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, they believe in Abraham. And with Abraham would come all these promises that they would be preserved. Okay. So negatively, beware of the false signs. Positively, be aware of the event. What are the events that will inaugurate, that will bring forth the Great Tribulation? Okay, what are they? Chapter 13, 14 to 23. Firstly, let's look at the Old Testament context. Chapter 13, verse 14 says, when you shall see, that's a reference. Mark somehow refers it to the Old Testament. The Old Testament has prophecies concerning all these great tribulations to come upon the people of Israel. And that's why I say Israel, the Jew, that's the people involved, not the Christian. And here we see the context. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand fast, standing by where it ought not, let him that he readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. No, this has nothing to do with Christians. But many Christian schools of thought have referred this verse to Christians. It has to do only with Israel, the Jews. The abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel. What is it? The text that's referred to is Daniel 9, 25, 27 again. Where we read, and he shall confirm the Antichrist that shall come, shall confirm with the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He shall build a temple, an idol of himself, or he will establish himself as the God of the of Israel, and he will be the Antichrist. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. he will be destroyed in the end. All right. The time is what too, remember, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He has nothing to do with this. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never seen. Please note, this trouble, this tribulation that is going to come, is not the tribulation that you Christian, you and I, go through. It is a tribulation that shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone shall be found within the book. Thy people, who are they? Daniel's people. Daniel's people, who are they? The Jews. The Israelites. They were the ones who would be involved. The tribe. Them that be in Judea. This is from Mark, not from the Old Testament. Mark refers to them that be in Judea. Who were the people in Judea? The Jews. Referring to Daniel's prophecy in chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Who were the thy people? Thy people is Daniel's people. Daniel's people, the Jew. I'm keeping on emphasizing that because many schools of thought have referred this chapter to Christians. Nothing to do with Christians. Chapter 13, 14, 20. As I said, the people involved, the Jews. Them that be in Judea. This term is used for the Jew. Judea. Pray that your flight be or not on the Sabbath day. Who keeps the Sabbath day? Not the Christian, the Jew. For the elect's sake. Elect. Who's the elect? The Jews who were elected by God. This word is misinterpreted today. Elect, say elect in Ephesians. The Christians are known as the elect. Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 7, verses 6 and 7 also tells us that the Jews are God elect. So the word elect, just because the word elect is used, and because it is used in Ephesians to refer to Christians, therefore the word elect, therefore the elect must be Christians. No. The elect here refers to the Jews. Because it says that if the Lord Jesus Christ has not come to deliver the elect, all will be destroyed. But the Lord will come at the right time to deliver his people, the Jews. But we Christians, where are we? We are up there. Unless you want to be here, let you be. You think you want to be here, let you be. I don't want. You stay here, I go there. The period indicated, as predicted by Daniel the prophet, when you see the abomination of desolation, then the time is period indicated by Daniel the prophet. Okay, secondly, after the destruction of the temple, the Lord also refers to his coming. Then he will come and he will deliver his elect. Because if he did not come, the elect will go through so thorough and so difficult a great tribulation that it had never happened before and will never happen again, that nobody will be saved. Nobody. So he must come. That's the whole idea brought up forth in chapter 3, chapter 13, sorry, not chapter 3, verses 24 to 27. Alright, now we talk about Christ's second coming. Then he will come. He will come to deliver. He will come to deliver his people. Because he says that if he did not come, no one will survive. Because the great tribulation was so terrible. Okay? The revelation of Christ coming for the Jews and Gentiles. Now we have a reference. We are going to discuss the second coming of Christ. But this second coming of Christ is not, please note my wording there, not for the Christian, for the Jews and Gentiles. It's for the Jews and Gentiles. A Gentile without Christ is not a Christian. A Jew without Christ is not a Christian. And therefore, this second coming is especially for those who are not Christians without Christ. Why do I say that? Let's see how the second coming of Christ is described. Whether it is the same as what? As the rapture of the church. In those days, after the tribulation, please note that this will occur after the tribulation. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. This will be the situation and condition and circumstances when Christ comes from these people. Is this the same as Christ coming for the church? As you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Definitely no. Definitely no. There's a great difference. Let's see. In this coming, referred to in chapter 13, 24 and 25, the cosmos is affected. The universe is affected. The heavens will be affected. The sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give a light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. It has no mention about the church. When he comes, all of us will be changed and will be taken up to heaven. In this coming, the cosmos is brought about. Christ coming in the clouds is visible to all, and all will see him. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Chapter 13, verse 26. Different from the rapture. The commission of angels together, and this time Christ uses the angels to gather his elect together for deliverance from the four corners of the earth. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. It concludes with the judgment of nations and setting up of Christ's kingdom. The great tribulation will end with the judgment of nations, when Gentiles, that's where Gentiles are involved, Gentiles and Jews will be brought in, and Christ will judge them in Matthew 25. Okay, this is not the same as the rapture. Mark 13 that we read just now, those that the passage don't apply that to the church. If you apply that to the church, you are in trouble. Why? Because let us look at the significance of this event. In the rapture, the cosmos is not affected. When he comes, Christ himself will come, and all those who have believed in him will be caught up in the air. There is no healing of the universe, the sun, the moon, nothing. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Christ coming in the clouds is not visible to all, only to us who are alive. In the twinkling of an eye, he shall be caught up in the air. Who can see him? In the twinkling of an eye. But here, every eye shall see him. No commission of angels to go around the four corners and gather the church. No. When Christ comes, all will be resurrected and all will be raptured into him. So, let me stress therefore that the revelation that Christ coming for the Jews to be revealed to them is different from Christ coming for the church to catch them up into heaven to be with him forevermore. Alright, let's see the signs. The revelation meaning that Christ is revealed to, for all to see. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. The rapture is not. Mentioned Old Testament because I mentioned that in Daniel prophecy. It's a prophecy that these things will happen. The cosmos is affected. Christ coming to the clouds is visible to all. Angels are commissioned. After the great tribulation, okay? And not before. There's no resurrection taking place. When Christ comes, the people who are affected, the Jews, will just move on earth too. There will be no rapture. They will go on earth and they will be judged at the judgment of nations together with the Gentiles. So there is no rapture. There is no resurrection. Judgment of nations then takes place where Christ will judge them and separate them into sheep and goats. That's what the judgment is known. The judgment of sheep and goats. Now, contrast that with the rapture. In the rapture, you cannot find in the Old Testament. Do not find the rapture in the Old Testament. Why? Because the church was not in existence yet. The church could not be in existence until Acts chapter 2. So do not find or apply the church in the Old Testament. It's a mystery. That's why you read in Ephesians. Paul says that we have the church is a mystery, not made known to the people of old, but now fully revealed to us. The cosmos is not affected. Christ will come. Christ coming in the clouds himself, only to his own, no angels involved. And it happens before the great tribulation. So that after the church has been raptured up, then the great tribulation takes place. Resurrection is then followed by the rapture. Judgment seat, when we are raptured into heaven, what happens to us? We shall face the judgment seat of Christ. I dealt with that already with you before. Okay, so you see the difference and the contrast between the revelation and the rapture. They are two different events, although both of them are referred to as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we must hurry up a bit to finish it. Initially, Jesus answered the first question. When shall these things be? In a parable. Chapter 13, 28 to 32 now. Jesus now tells a parable. A parable of the fig tree. And he says that when you see the fig tree, the leaves begin to come out, then you know that the signs are there. The picture of the parable. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. A sign that summer is near. When you see the leaves coming out, summer is near. Christ coming is very soon. The prophetic events will soon come to pass. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, when you shall see that these things come to pass, know that it is nigh. I think now you can see these things coming to pass. They are the beginning of sorrows, but they are not the sorrows yet. They are coming. So we need to be ready and to watch because it's coming soon. These things are sure to come to pass. Chapter 13 and verse 30. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be done. Generation. What is meant by generation? This generation will not pass away until all these things have come to pass. The word generation is from that Greek word, and it means those people living at a particular time. And it could not be those people living at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was speaking there. It could be indirectly because when the Lord Jesus Christ referred to the destruction of the temple, that generation witnessed the prophecy being fulfilled in 70 AD. Jesus Christ made prophecy in 30 AD or so. But the destruction of the temple came about in 70 AD. So the generation that was with Jesus in 30 AD still living to see the prophecy being fulfilled. But there can be another meaning for the generation. That the generation also can mean people living at a particular time. And it might mean people living in the time of the Great Tribulation. So that when the tribulation comes about, these people will witness and see the fulfillment of the words of Jesus Christ. It's a group of people from a common ancestor. The Jews living at the time when the Great Tribulation takes place. Right? Chapter 13, 30, 31, we're finishing now. Christ granting means present. Verily I say unto you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So let us beware. All these things will come to pass. We are living in momentous days. We are living in momentous times. Let us be ready. The hearted pledge of his coming. Verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth men. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son even, but the Father. So please, don't go to the web. Don't go to internet. Christ is coming on that day. He is coming. And I'll give you the day. I'll give you that time. No. The angels will know about it. The Son himself even doesn't know about it. Only God the Father knows. So, do not. That's why sometimes people ask me, Mr. An, do you know Christ is coming soon or not? You see the time, what's going on? I say, I don't know. The times may be very similar, but they cannot be what I think they are, as prophesied in the scriptures. Okay, with this, finally. Oh, I'm glad I can say finally. Finally, Jesus asked all to stay awake. Watch, 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 watch. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the partner to watch. You need to watch while serving the Lord. Watch ye therefore, for you know when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the overthrowing, or in the at the overcrowing, cockcrowing, or in the morning. Finally, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto you, watch. I'm not sure what this study of Mark chapter 13 does to your heart, to your mind, to your life. But I hope it comes as a challenge to you. That's coming suddenly, the Lord finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you, watch. Watch and pray. The Lord commanded, watch and pray, do not be long. Soon he'll gather home his loved ones to the happy value of song. The last two weeks, 10 people left for home. The Lord will come. When he comes, not 10, but hundreds, thousands, millions will leave for home. Will you be among them? Watch and pray. With that, I finish. And if you're interested, this recording and the notes will be at the PowerPoint slides, and the notes will be on my website. Thank you.